Let's approach God's throne together and ask His blessings on us as we've gathered together. Almighty Father, all I really want is you. Thank you for making it possible for us to be together this morning. And thank you, Father, for the thoughts that David shared with us as we gathered around the table and the incredible sacrifice that was made on our behalf to provide for us a Savior long before we ever knew we needed one. And thank you for the songs and for the words that they contained and the skills and the gifts and the talents and the abilities that you have blessed those who can write lyrics and put together notes, and then to sing. Father, build your kingdom here, for we are the hope on earth. Be with us as we continue our worship. Be with me as I share the thoughts that I have prepared. Forgive me, Father, for the fact that so often the words that I share are not always the words that I put into practice. Thank you for your forgiveness and your patience. May we honor you in all that we do. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to let you in on a little secret this morning of what I want us to think about and to discuss and to go over over the next couple of weeks together, if God allows us that. And if He decides that He is still not done with letting man come to repentance and Jesus doesn't come back over the next little while, there are some certain things that I want us to focus on. There are a couple of verses that I want us to spend some time delving into and allow them to speak to us. I want to see what the implications and the ramifications of these verses are on us as Christians individually, and on us as this collection of God's people here in this portion of Indianapolis. And it's because these two verses, I think, Joey, go so well with the song that we just sang. And the first one is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 at verse 15. And Paul writes, "Therefore, we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task?" And you notice that Paul says here, he says, we are. He doesn't say we possibly could be. Maybe you ought to try. If it's convenient for you and you find enough time in your busy schedules, you may want to consider putting this into activity. Paul says, you are the aroma. We're an aroma to God. And the kind of lives in which we live, hopefully our lives to Him are a pleasing sacrifice, and as the incense of the old covenant would come before God, I pray that that's our lives. But he also says that we're an aroma outside of here. That to those who are being called by God, we are a pleasant fragrance. To those who reject God's word, we are the aroma of death. Basically, Paul is saying, as a Christian, you're supposed to smell like Jesus. And he doesn't give us an option. He says, that's who you are. That is what people are supposed to experience when you rub shoulders with them, when you interact with them. They are to know that you have been so inundated and so encompassed by Jesus himself that you smell like him. The second one is a phrase that Jesus makes himself, found in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, says, you are the salt of the earth. But the salt loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it on a bowl or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Once again, Jesus now says, you are. He doesn't say, I want this section of the room to try to be salt, and I want this section of the room to try to be light, and this section of the room, you guys try to be an aroma. He says, no, that's what we are. The moment we decided to tell God, all I really want is you, we have become his fragrance, his aroma, his salt, and his light. And that's what I want us to think about and to focus on for the next several weeks together. Of what does it mean to be salt? How do we smell like Jesus? What did Jesus smell like so we know what we're supposed to, what fragrance we're supposed to present to the world in which we live? What I want to do this morning is I want to tell you why I want to cover those two verses starting next week. And there are two reasons. I know you find that as surprising. I can't do anything in just individuals. There are two reasons, and the first one is because of a couple of verses. Later on in Matthew chapter 11, Matthew records for us, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man come eating and drinking, and they say, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. This is the ultimate you can't win for losing situation. John comes, isolates himself, lives an austere life, and this guy is crazy. He has a demon. And Jesus says, I come, and I'm interacting, and I'm involved, and I want to get to know people, to touch people, and to be part of their lives. And when I do that, you're calling me a glutton and a friend of sinners and tax collectors. Jesus further expounds on that in Mark chapter 2. And while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? In Jesus' time, this was the ultimate taboo for a good Jewish person. You don't eat with, you don't associate with, you don't become involved with, you don't interact with sinners, tax collectors, and people of the land. And if Jesus truly was the Messiah that he's claiming to be, he would know that. He would know that what he is doing is so far off from what God wants us good, righteous, religious people to be involved in, that he wouldn't do that. And because he is, just maybe proves he's not the Messiah. Yeah. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I have come not to call the righteous, but the sinners. Jesus says, the very reason why I, David, made that sacrifice of coming here and leaving the glory of heaven and knowing that at some point I was going to experience something that I have never experienced in all of eternity, and that is being separated from the presence of my God and my Father. The reason why I came here is to let the whole world know that I love all of you. And if I want to smell like Jesus, and I want to be his aroma and salt and light in his kingdom, it will be necessary for these same accusations to be true of us. There's a second reason why I wanted to begin this study. And that was because of an article that I came across a long time ago and then found as I was putting my office back together. And it was an article on church growth. And this article basically said, to the unchurched, our church is no different than a local restaurant. And why people continue to go to a restaurant is based upon the quality of the food being served, the ambiance in the restaurant, how friendly and courteous the staff are, and is the place clean? And so it got me thinking, If we're to be a restaurant, what kind of restaurant would we be? Would we be St. Elmo's Steakhouse? Great food, beautiful surroundings, run like clockwork. Would it be Golden Corral, a buffet where we just provide a little bit of everything for everybody? As I thought about this, I've come to the conclusion that the kind of restaurant we should be is a Waffle House. Waffle House was created in 1955 by two men who were neighbors who had been in the food industry business before that and wanted to start an adventure on their own. And so they opened up the very first Waffle House in a suburb outside of Atlanta. And in the 65 years of its existence, there are now 1,600 Waffle Houses in 25 states across this country, predominantly in the Southeast and the Midwest. Some interesting things about Waffle House. Waffle House is the number one seller of sausage patties, T-bone steaks, and waffles in the country. Matter of fact, if you stack every sausage patty that Waffle House sells in a year, it would be four times the height of the Empire State Building. Every minute in this country, Waffle House is serving 500 strips of bacon, 100 bowl of grits, and 33 hamburgers. One of the beautiful and interesting things about Waffle House is this. When the gentleman decided to start Waffle House, they specifically chose the name Waffle House for a reason. Not because all they do is sell waffles, but they realized that waffles was the one food that didn't lend itself to be a good carry-out item. It kind of loses its structural integrity by the time you get it home. And so they wanted to have a restaurant that specialized in food where people would stay and eat. They purposely designed the layout of their restaurants on purpose. Some of the things that some people don't like about Waffle House, but the cook is sitting right there in front of you making eggs and scattered, stacked, and peppered hash browns. But the reason they did that is they said, we don't want to have a kitchen that's way back in the back where nobody can see is what's going on, because at Waffle House, we don't want to have any secrets. We want to be open. Waffle House committed to being friendly. You cannot walk into a Waffle House without somebody saying, honey, or I was even called sweet cheeks in one in Northeast Mississippi one time. Made me feel at home. Not that I get called sweet cheeks at home, but it just made me kind of feel at home. And they train everybody from the waitresses to the chef to the assistant managers. You have to be friendly. Why? Because we want people to come back. Their menu is very, very simple, on purpose again. Now, you may not like everything on the Waffle House menu, but I guarantee you'll probably find something that you do like. And they're open 24 hours a day. As a matter of fact, you can look it up, go Google it. FEMA has what's called the Waffle House Index. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, has what's called the Waffle House Index. Because they serve a very simple menu and they're always open, they determine how severe a storm is based upon Waffle House. I'm serious. Waffle House Index green, that means they're still open and serving their menu, must not be that bad a storm. A Waffle House yellow means the Waffle House is limited hours and a limited menu. The storm must be very severe. Waffle House level red, Waffle House isn't open because there's no food and no electricity. The storm must be really, really bad. Brothers and sisters, wouldn't it be great if FEMA had the church index? That they could tell by the status and the way that we conduct ourselves as salt and light and smelling like Jesus, the condition of the environment in which we find ourselves in? I went to a Waffle House in Northeast Mississippi it's been several years ago now when I think about it. Our son was in junior high. That's a long time ago. Anyway, I wanted to take him to Corinth, where I grew up, and we stopped at a Waffle House, and when we pulled in, there were four Harley Davidsons, a pickup truck with a bass boat, a Mercedes, and a Dodge Grand Caravan. We walked in. I could tell which of the four guys owned the Harleys. I could tell which two guys owned the pickup truck. I'm assuming that the mother with four children had the Grand Caravan, and the guy sitting at the counter in a suit had their Mercedes. But here's the beautiful thing. At a Waffle House, it doesn't matter what you drive. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic standing. It doesn't matter your race, creed, color, gender. You're always welcome at Waffle House. Name was chosen specifically. The layout was chosen specifically. The menu chosen specifically. The hours chosen specifically. But the thing that impressed me most, and why I think that what we should be, what we should strive to be, what we should desire to be, if we want to smell like Jesus, is the mission statement of the Waffle House. We're not in the food business. We're in the people business. And brothers and sisters, we're not in the church business. We're not in the religion business. We're not in the morality police business. We're in the people business. And I think we see that very clearly in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15. Rome is an interesting situation. The church in Rome is an even more interesting situation. In 49 AD, Claudius declares a decree that all the Jews have to leave Rome. Now, we know initially the church, as it started with the Jewish community. All the Jews, including Jewish Christians, had to leave Rome. And so for the 5 years from 49 to 54, when Claudius died and the edict was overturned, the church became Gentile. And then in 54, the Jews were allowed to come back, and now you had a church that originally was Jewish, now was Gentile, and now they don't know who they are. And Paul writes this. Now, normally I use the NIV translation. But this morning I want to read it from a more modern version just because I like the way it's worded. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter. And not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way Scripture puts it. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it is written for us. God wants the combination of His steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever He will do next. May our dependable, steady, and warmly personal God develop maturity in us so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. And then we'll be a choir. Not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it. Now you do it. Jesus, staying true to God's purpose, reached out in a special way to the Jewish insiders so that the old ancestral promise would come true for them. As a result, the non-Jewish outsiders have been able to experience mercy and to show appreciation to God. Just think of all the Scripture that will come true if true in what we do. For instance, then I'll join outsiders in a hymn singing, and I will sing to your name. Strength is for service, not status. How can I help? Wade right in. A combination of the steady calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to characterize us. So reach out to insiders, to outsiders. When we were living in Oklahoma City, I worked almost kind of downtown, and there was a restaurant that was famous. It's called Rosie's. Now, the health department tried on multiple occasions to shut Rosie's down. The governor kept intervening. Rosie was not in a commercial building. It was in a house on a side street. You parked in the park, either on the grass or in the driveway, and you came in through the back door past the kitchen, and then once that point, all the interior walls except for load-bearing walls was taken out. There's nothing but long tables. None of the silverware matched. It was either Melmac or something else. Not a plate matched. And it was the best food I've ever eaten in my life, if you like Southern cooking. Smothered pork chops, candied sweet potatoes, beans and cornbread. Cornbread's a sweet, you could eat it for dessert and not just as a meal. Rose sat behind a counter with a Red Chief cigar box, and you dropped a $10 bill in it, and that's all it cost you for whatever you wanted. But the most amazing thing about Rose's was this sign over the buffet line, written by hand with a black magic marker on a Maytag dishwasher box. How I know that? Because it still said Maytag dishwasher on it. And the sign, handwritten by Rose, says, "We serve good food because we love you." Brothers and sisters, we serve the good news of Jesus Christ because we love you. That should be who we are. That should be what characterizes us. John Acuff is a writer. He does a lot of script work for Staples and for Home Depot and has a blog site. A friend of his attended a church in Daytona Beach, Florida, where they hand out a welcome card to everybody who enters in it. John was so impressed by it that he put it on his blog, and it was interesting the response that he got to his blog. Some people loved it. A lot of people hated it. Some people thought it was controversial. I love it. Here it is. "We extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, gay, filthy rich, dirt poor, and yo no hablo inglés. We extend a special welcome to those who are crying newborns, skinny as a rail, or could afford to lose a few pounds. We welcome you if you can sing like Andre Bocelli or like our pastor who can't carry a tune in a bucket. You're welcome here if you're just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail. We don't care if you are more Catholic than the Pope or haven't been to church since little Joey's baptism. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but not grown up yet, and to teenagers who are growing up too fast. We welcome soccer moms, NASCAR dads, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, and junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you have problems or if you are down in the dumps or if you don't like organized religion. We've been there too. If you blew all your offering money at the dog track, you're welcome here too. We offer a special welcome to those who think the earth is flat, work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or because grandma is in town and she wanted to go to church. We welcome those who are inked, pierced, or both. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now, had religion shoved down their throats as a kid, or got lost in traffic and wound up here by mistake. We welcome tourists, seekers, and doubters, bleeding hearts, and you." Brothers and sisters, that's the invitation that Jesus extends. That's the reason why the religious leaders of his day accused him of breaking the social taboo number one in the all good Jewish boys list by associating with these types. And brothers and sisters, I think this is the invitation that he wants us to extend. Because if we truly are going to be salt and light and aroma and smell like Jesus smells, then the same accusations that were leveled against him must be the same accusations that are leveled against us. You know how I know? Matthew chapter 25. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance and the kingdom prepared for you for since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Waffle House isn't a perfect restaurant. They've had their issues over the past 65 years. You've probably heard the joke, what has 8 legs, 8 eyes, and 12 teeth? The wait staff at Waffle House. It's not a perfect place. But then neither are we. But we stand before an all-loving, redeeming God, because he wanted us to know that the reason I came was to interact and be involved and eat with and touch and love all of us. My desire for us, as we bring to a close what's been a very, very difficult 2020, and as we enter in to a new year, if it is God's will, that we will desire above anything else for people to say the same thing about us that they said about Jesus. Because then I know that we smell like him. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, great and loving, all-powerful, all-knowing, intervening, interrupting, interacting, involving God. Thank you for the example that your son set for us. And the example that he set for his father was one who was to encourage us to live the same way. I personally, Father, ask for forgiveness when I'm more interested in being St. Elmo's Steakhouse than I am a Waffle House. I'm more concerned about what's best for the insiders than I am what's best for the outsiders. When I'm more concerned about smelling like Tommy Hilfiger than I am Jesus. Father, I ask that you move amongst this group of people, that beginning today, we will commit ourselves to being what you told us we really already were, and that is salt and light and aroma, ambassadors. Father, we're going to make mistakes. Thank you for your forgiveness. We're going to go in the wrong direction sometimes, and by your Spirit, bring us back to where we're supposed to be. But Father, I don't want to be accused of not trying. I would rather be trying to work for you and make a mistake than do nothing at all. And so, Father, all we really need is, all we really need is you living through us to make a difference in this world that you love so very much. I pray this in the name of our Savior, our friend, our example, in the name of Jesus, his powerful, holy, precious name. Amen. If this morning you want to make a commitment publicly before us and God, that from this point forward, I want to smell like him, then let us know. There may be some of us in this room this morning or listening to our voice this morning who says, I haven't come in contact with Jesus yet, so I'm not smelling like him yet, but I know I need to do that, and I want to be baptized so that the stench of sin can be washed away and the beautiful fragrance of Christ can exist. If we can serve you in any way, let us know. If it's convenient during the singing of this song, fantastic. If it's later today or tomorrow or 2 o'clock in the morning, let us know. Because together, we're going to smell like Jesus. If we can serve you in any way, let us know. As together, Joy, we stand and you lead us in this song.